This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi.
On today's episode, we're talking all things Rogue One and Journey to the Force Awakens with Mike Cooper from 1138. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And as you heard, we've got Mike from 1138 back, and I promise I am not going to title this episode Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Thank God. It's not, you're both perfectly welcome to call me Cooper because everybody online does that.
All right, we'll do that then.
Excellent.
We have dubbed thee Cooper.
So shall it be written.
The person does too.
And before we get too much further into the show, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And we do have a little bit of a Her Universe update. Something was teased on the Instagram account over there yesterday.
Yes, Ashley tweeted a picture of product shoot in which she was wearing a lightsaber skirt. And a glow-in-the-dark lightsaber shirt. It was pretty awesome.
You need that, don't you?
Probably, yeah, but I'm going to wait to see what the other things are first, because there will be lots of them, and I only have so much money.
Is it regular glow-in-the-dark or, like, LEDs or something?
I think just regular glow-in-the-dark, unfortunately. If it was LEDs, it would be an insta-buy.
Okay, you need to buy a second skirt. We're going to do some modifications and add some LED lights and a battery pack to it.
No.
Come on, it'd be great.
No.
Come on.
No.
All right, and on
but
that.
That's different from the sleeves, and she can be Lord Nyx.
Oh, God.
Coop, we need to have you on more often.
We got rid of him, so let's not ever mention him again.
Before we go any further down that rabbit hole, Nancy, what's new on the blog?
Well, Bria reviewed Star Wars number 3 that came out last week, and by the time you hear this podcast, she will probably also have a review for Princess Leia number 2, which came out today, which I have not yet read, which I will be doing after this podcast, because as we discussed last weekend, I actually read a comic.
Ooh, and the Comixology app seems to help you.
I know. It'll tell me where to go, because I'm a child and need to be have my hand held through comic reading. Brian, you wrote a column about Lords of the Sith and why you're kind of worried about it. We'll discuss that next week, probably. But
I think, yeah, we'll wrap that into our... Yeah.
We've got too many things to talk about this week.
Yeah, thanks for all the breaking news last week. I mean, can you... I'm appreciative, but can you space it out a little more so I'm not constantly running around with my hair on fire?
No, they can't, which we'll talk about later in the news.
Okay.
I wrote a column a little while ago about what problems I had with Heir to the Jedi. Mainly, it was just one big problem. And again, we'll talk about it next week.
You could say it was a Frigidaire-sized problem.
It was a Frigidaire-sized problem.
You say Heir to the Jedi just now. I wanted to correct you. Oh, you mean Empire. I'm still not used to that title.
I know. It's, yeah. And also, so, yeah, we'll be discussing those next week, along with the general kind of state of the EU, aside from the news, because they decided to give it to us all in one chunk.
All of it. Yep. Every little bit of it.
Yep. Wondering what they're going to have to tell us at Celebration.
And that's what's new on the blog. Check out the links in the show notes to find how to get to those things that we wrote done there.
What are something. You talking about?
I don't know.
Stop talking.
I'm a podcaster.
Stop trying to be clever with your transitions.
I know. Fixer's flash. Geeky things we've been up to. And Nancy, what have you? We kick off with you.
I started writing another book.
You did start writing another book.
Yes. Should I give my pitch for this one? Because I actually have one for this one.
Excellent. Go for it.
It's Gender Swapped Lion King in Space.
Don't you mean Hamlet?
Nope. It's not Hamlet. It's a Lion King.
Are they still lions?
No.
No.
It's not really Lion King.
They're not lions. They're not anthropomorphic lions.
It's gender swapped Shakespearean type play involving royalty set in space. How about that?
I'll allow it.
But yes, I have started writing it, and I like it.
And you're, like you said earlier, you'll be reading Princess Leia number 2
after we're the done podcast. Here. Yep.
What have I been doing?
I don't know. This is why I write the show notes earlier, and you're supposed to add things into them when I do that.
I know. I haven't been up to that much. I'm pretty boring. Played some FIFA.
We did play some FIFA. We should play some other games you have.
Like, I don't know, get back into Dragon Age now that I'm out of the frickin' hinterlands.
Yes, you should do that. You should also, finish your Herothic.
I told you
I was going to poke you until I did that.
I know. I saw that there were some people over at the TFN fic boards that were kind of upset that I'd forgotten it existed.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to keep poking you until you do it.
Okay. Mike, what about you?
Well, I replayed Portal while I was sick.
Oh.
That's the last thing I did.
Obligatory cake is a lie joke.
I'm starting to work on our April Fool's thing for 11:38, which all I'll say is that it involves a rewatch of Rebels.
Okay.
Are we going to do anything for that?
No. We got too much to think about.
I keep being afraid that it's just not going to fall on one of our publishing days, but I haven't had that happen yet in the last 2 years. other than that, nothing major on the horizon other than continuing to run the site.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most boring Fixer's Flash we've ever done. I apologize.
Nah.
We apologize to our
comic book collection or something. I can sell it.
We apologize.
It's big.
Ooh.
I've got a Lords of the Sith advanced copy.
Oh yeah.
We all do.
Waiting for me to open.
We should read that.
I should. I should actually go download that from NetGalley first.
I should too.
Oops. But that's pretty much it. Why weren't we all up to a whole lot of geeky things? Because we were running around with our hair on fire and scrambling to WordPress all of last week because of a deluge of news, which brings us to Deke's Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
News from around fandom, and I am going to screw up this last name.
I was going to say you could just say this one because I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Mike?
I'm specifically going to Google it earlier this reason, and I forgot.
Stuart,
I'm going to say Eminem.
Eminem. Stuart Eminem. That's my
Imonen.
Best guess.
Imonen. I don't know.
Stuart is going to be the new artist on the Star Wars ongoing, starting with issue number 8. I believe it was John Cassidy who is stepping out now.
Yes.
So yay, new artist, and folks are very excited. His art is quite good, so he'll be a very welcome addition to the Marvel Star Wars comic core. And okay, strap in. We got a little long chunk.
First, should we point out that we are not doing Cammy's Concerns today?
Yeah, there is no Cammy's Concerns. Cammy's Concerns is Deke's Dirt this week.
And yeah, Deke's Dirt and Big's Bullshit. That's Cammy's Concerns because there's a lot of news to talk about.
Journey to the...
Can I swear?
Yes!
We have... our general rule of thumb is we have one allowable F-bomb per show, but everything else is fair game.
Okay.
Yep.
Noted.
So yeah, we got a big announcement. I don't remember when it was last week. It had to have been like Wednesday or Thursday because it was after we podcasted. That in oh no, because it was before we podcasted. We mentioned it, but we didn't discuss.
Journey was Tuesday. Rogue One was Thursday.
Okay. Yes, because I was homesick. That's right. So, Journey to the Force Awakens was announced on Tuesday in Entertainment Weekly as the big publishing push leading up to The Force Awakens, as you can tell by the title, that will involve YA books, adult novel, comics, and also sticker books. Because who does
it? Yeah, sticker books!
Yes, I'm excited about the sticker books. We got some more information about the books over the past week, and we will have four young adult novels. The first is Moving Target by Cecil Castellucci, and this is the one about Princess Leia, and Amazon has, and other book-selling outlets have a tiny blurb, which is Princess Leia returns for an all-new adventure in this thrilling upper-middle grade novel. Set between Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back and Star Wars The Return of the Jedi, the story follows the warrior princess, Xena, as she leads a ragtag group of rebels on a dangerous mission against the evil Galactic Empire. Hidden in the story are also hints and clues about the upcoming film Star Wars The Force Awakens, making this a must-read for fans old and new. So the
Can I say what I like about that phrase?
I know what you will say, and go ahead.
What am I going to say? Well, now I want to know what you think.
That it's between Empire and Jedi?
No, the fact that they say hints and clues.
Oh, okay.
Not just hints, not just clues, but both.
They're doubling down.
You know, it's marketing for you.
And then it's in the same sentence identically in all four things.
Yeah, we'll skip that sentence from the rest of the blurbs, but... yeah, I like that this is after Empire.
And I've been lobbying for this for ages since they've been in this OT writing.
Yeah, I'm actually disappointed the other books aren't after Empire because, God, I'm sick of After A New Hope. Because, seriously, we've gotten enough of that. But I'm really glad for the Leia book because Han ain't in the picture, so she can't get shoehorned in with him for once.
Oh, thank God.
I don't mind After A New Hope as much just because there's so, like, if you look at it, there's 3 years there and only 1 year between Empire and Jedi, so it makes more sense that there would be a lot then.
It does. I wish they were more, like, it just says After A New Hope. Like, they never clarify when After A New Hope. So.
Yeah, there needs to be, now that there's a story group, there needs to be more of a, I think I wrote about this a while back, like, as they need to have a sense of exactly what goes on over those whole 3 years. And
yes.
Then have, like, marks. There should be markers, like with the Clone Wars. Like, oh, is Anakin a knight yet, or is he this yet? Is this battle happened, or did that battle not happen yet? Like, they should establish a timeline for the whole gap and then set things around in that spot rather than just make everything ambiguous.
Yeah, and although I'm definitely not one to complain about, you know, more Luke Skywalker content, since we just had a book about him set after A New Hope, it'd be nice if this one is a little different or set a little bit after that, you know, but I don't think it will be. But, yeah. So, moving on to that, the Luke book is called The Weapon of a Jedi, and it is by Jason Fry, which made me pump my fist and go to Twitter and go, oh my god, Jason Fry is writing the Luke book! To which he replied, yes, I am. Or rather, yes, I have. And that made me very excited because I like Jason Fry. He's a cool guy. And I like his middle grade books that he's written. So the blurb for this one is set between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, the story finds Luke Skywalker, C-3PO, and R2-D2 stranded on a mysterious planet and explores a dangerous duel between Luke and a strange new villain. So, apparently, it's his first lightsaber duel, overruling all the other ones we've read in the past.
Well, they've
a strange new villain will be interesting. That could be another Inquisitor.
Yeah, that's what I've seen the rumors about that. It'll be interesting to see.
Well, we've already had Luke facing off against Vader earlier than we all thought.
Yeah,
in
well,
the comics.
And,
so
yeah, in, you know, Legends and now canon, so.
Well, the EU version of that was one thing, but I'm totally fine with what happened in the, with the Jason Aaron version of that. Like, that's not a duel in any, by any stretch of the imagination. It takes 5 seconds. He basically kicks his ass and sends him out the door. Like, there are people who just don't think they should even lay eyes on each other, but I'm not quite that severe about it. I think things like that are fine, and basically to hand him out to what Marvel did back in the day, where you would chase them around the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like, I kind of wonder if the Rebels is going to have that sort of interaction with Vader going forward. Not really, really having duels with him right about, you know, right away, and then just kind of like seeing him every once in a while, and then finally, boom, he's got him. I don't know. Just thinking out loud here.
I'd be surprised if they even end up in a room with him.
Yeah.
Because like, basically, I think he even said, like, if they get anywhere near him, they're dead.
Yeah.
So I think he's just going to sort of be like a series of cameos, like we've been seeing, but just more often.
Yeah.
He can't be that directly involved or it's over.
True. But yeah, so obviously I'm interested in this one, both because of Luke and Jason Fry. Brian, you want to read the next one?
Yes, Smuggler's Run by Greg Rucka, Han Solo and Chewbacca the Wookiee team up for an all-new adventure in this thrilling upper-middle-grade novel set between Star Wars A New Hope and Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back. The story follows everyone's favorite pair of smugglers as they fly the Millennium Falcon on a top-secret mission for the Rebellion. That sounds like a Fox comedy pilot.
Does.
Not to keep picking apart the grammar, but do we really need to say Chewbacca the Wookiee at this point?
No, but that's why I laughed.
As opposed to Chewbacca the Ewok?
I don't know. I guess, you know, kids, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that kiddie.
Yeah, I saw Han Solo novel and I was, eh. Then I saw Greg Rucka and I went, ooh. So, yes, I'm interested. Greg Rucka can... come play in the Star Wars sandbox whenever he likes.
Yeah.
And finally, any other thoughts on that one? Panel?
No. I mean, like I said, we just saw them together in the Honor Among Thieves. But, I mean, I like Han and Chewie together, so it works out.
But this time it's canon.
It is. This time
but
it is
canon. This time it counts.
Not like that other one they sold us a year ago. That didn't count.
Yeah. And I think that's why so far the Leia one is the one I'm most interested in, just because...
It isn't a retread of ground we've been on before.
Yeah. Well, because Razor's Edge was more of a Han and Leia book than just a Leia book. Which, I mean, it was fine, but I'm really interested in seeing her on her own.
That one's going to be interesting just because it's going to be the first time that something totally obliterates something from the EU. There's no way that's going to even be at all salvageable with Shadows of the Empire, so...
Oh, no.
Or will it?
Big fallout.
Or will it?
Oh, I'm just crushed. Sorry, yeah. Shadows fans. Sorry. 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 Sorry.
I accept your apology.
And finally, we've got Lost Stars by Claudia Gray. This thrilling young adult novel gives readers a macro view of some of the most important events of the Star Wars universe. From the rise of the Rebellion to the fall of the Empire, readers will experience these major moments through the eyes of two childhood friends, Sienna Ree and Thane... Come on!
It's Star Wars names!
Thane...
Kyrell. Can I...
We'll run with that. Thane Kyrell.
You switch it to a T. It's a game.
AKA, can I just call them Wedge and Tycho? Because that would make this book more interesting to me.
That would make this book a little... Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Who have grown up to become an Imperial officer and a Rebel pilot now on opposite sides of the war? Will these two star-crossed lovers reunite? Or will stories tear... Or will duty tear them apart? Tear them and the galaxy apart? Gee, how much fic of, okay, I'm not going to go down that path.
No, go down the path, because I'll answer the question for you.
How much Wedge and Tycho star-crossed lovers fic was out there?
Not enough. Not enough.
I would think it was more Jensen and Hubby.
Trust me, I've looked. It's
not enough. No, we have it on good authority that Wes and Hobby were just cuddlers.
Yes. Aaron Alston said so at Dragon Con. they like to cuddle. But yeah, I'm kind of really looking forward to this book. I won't lie.
I am too, which is why I was perfectly fine with getting this one in the draw on the review duties.
Yeah, mainly because it's not the big three, but also because I think it has a chance to be really interesting as far as like having the most content that is relevant to us as EU fans. Like, what's the galaxy like? And plus, it is going to have post Return of the Jedi content in it. So
Doesn't
I think it's
come out the same day as Aftermath, though.
It all comes out the same day.
Yes, let's
really, like, that was the first one we heard about, but it's not going to be by that point. Everything's going to be after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Well, let's discuss that for a moment, because I said before they like to throw everything all at once. So we get all those four YA books, and Aftermath, and the comic on September 4th, which is during Dragon Con. Can I shake my fist at them and say, what the hell are you doing? Stop it.
So if any one of you listeners are with Disney Press, could you do us a solid, get in contact with me? You can find me at brian@tashi-station.net. We'd really appreciate some advanced copies of these YA and middle grade books, because we're going to need some help.
Bria can only read so fast. I mean, she can read pretty fast. But
there's no way she's getting through five books and a comic in one day.
No, she could probably read all the YA books in one day. She could definitely read Aftermath in one day, but I don't think she could read them all in one day.
So
I definitely can't.
We'd love to review this for you guys on release day, but we need a little help.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I can see them having these at like sell at San Diego like they did with A New Dawn.
Yeah. I mean, and
of course,
the one
Jason's is done already.
I mean, on the one hand, I'm kind of like, you know, yay, all new Star Wars books. And I'm like, oh my God, why? Why are you doing this? Why are they all coming out the same day? I get that. Because, like, it's supposed to be a journey to The Force Awakens. So shouldn't you have, like, one book in September and then one book in October and then one book in November and make it all a build up.
Somehow I feel like this is our own fault, because somehow I feel like people at Disney Press and Del Rey are like, oh, you want information? You want stuff? Let's turn on the fire hose. How do you like that? How do you like them apples?
Yeah. I think there will be more after September. Like, there was three books in over the course of fall pretty much this year.
Yeah. But so those are the YA books that were announced. They also have given us, not much more information about the Marvel comics, but they released the cover for Shattered Empire #1, which was done by Phil Noto, which delighted lots of people.
Yay, Phil Noto!
And the cover is a shot or a drawing of our intrepid heroes during the Battle of Endor celebration. So I wonder what it's about.
I love that Phil captured Lando doing his awkward clapping dance.
Yeah. I like that Luke is smiling. And doesn't look like he's off to go be a hermit. Just saying.
I think you have thoughts and feelings about
No,
that,
that's
Nancy.
All that's all I have to say about the subject.
No, it's not. That's all you have to say right now.
That's all I have to say right now.
Wicket's on the cover too. I want to know what happens to Wicket.
and there are those three. There's three Ewoks.
Maybe Wicket is Luke's first student.
Maybe Wicket becomes the new Lieutenant Ketch. Lieutenant Wicket.
Wait, are we in the wild guessing part yet?
Yes.
We're in the wild guessing part all day.
We don't have anything else to talk about Shattered Empire except that it looks like it takes place right after Return of the Jedi. And it's supposed to... No, I'm sorry. That was from the book, I think. But yeah, so we really don't know much any more about this. So yes, speculation.
I want there to be a little. I want to be able to point to a specific page of Aftermath and say this is when the comic is happening. I want if we have story group, I want to see story group in this. I want them to be that on top of it that we know exactly how the two things fit together. Because even like Heir to the Jedi and the first Star Wars issues, like they don't not work, but there was a second one we had to figure it out. It wasn't immediately clear. And yeah. I would like this because these are happening both like they're both trying to be that this is after Endor story. So I want them to be really, really in sync. That's all I need. Other than that, I don't really care who's doing what.
Yeah, I agree, because like that was one major issue with the early expanded universe is that there wasn't much cohesion at all. You know, it wasn't until later on they're like, we're going to make all these go together. But it would be really nice to, because they want to have all that synergy. So they have the power to make it happen.
A few months ago, I wrote something about it and I said that I want to see if I want it nailed down to the point that if Luke gets a paper cut in one story, he's got a Band-Aid in the next story.
Yeah.
Like they need to know who's doing what on what day, like day by day by day, at least for the first like month or so after Endor. Because there's going to be so much. They're going to want to tell so many stories about that.
Yeah. Can I say that I would really like for Luke not to be wearing a black glove ever in the post-Return of the Jedi Expanded Universe?
I'm going to borrow your headcanon for Luke's yellow jacket and apply it to the glove.
What?
One day, Wes Jansen just went, yeah, sure, Luke, that black glove looks good.
No, sure. No, this is what happened. Luke was polite. He had an injury on his hand, and so he put the glove on it to, you know, cover that until he could get it fixed. Once the Battle of Endor was over and he had time, he went to the med bay and was like, hey, can you fix my hand? And they did, and then he took the glove off and never wore it again. But apparently, and then everyone else drew him with a glove and, like, official pictures and portraits or whatever, because that's what he wore during the Battle of Endor. So he's, like, sitting there facepalming all the time at these official images of him that have the black glove.
You have a lot of strong feelings about that.
It's so stupid. Why is he wearing that in his fucking wedding 20 years after Return of the Jedi?
It's like the people that wear the t-shirts with their loved ones, like death date on it, RIP so-and-so.
Yeah. There's no reason for him to have that.
I'm reminded tangentially by something in the chat. I do hope that at some point one of these post Return of the Jedi comics reintroduces butt bows.
Minimal is maximal. Hey, I don't care if it's canon or not. Union is always on my bookshelf. And it will be in our wedding photos forever.
Thank you, however, for not wearing butt bows to our wedding.
I did have a butt bow, Brian.
You didn't have a butt bow, though. And we have today's podcast episode title.
Butt bows?
Butt bows.
No, I liked my title.
Yeah, so that's what we know about the Marvel stuff, Shattered Empire. And we have a neat cover by Phil Noto, which is awesome. Phil Noto, yeah. If he could do all
Can
the covers,
I also
would be great.
Say that I'm annoyed that they're making me read a comic?
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah. I will be reading.
You're reading. Is Leia the only one you've read so far?
Yeah. Well, I started to read the first one and I got bored.
there's only four a month.
No, I started reading Star Wars number one and got bored. So I stopped reading it.
So then go read Darth Vader. There's so many.
I don't care about him.
You really don't like comics.
No, I might give Kanan a try, but like, people are like, oh, you just haven't given it a try. I'm like, no, I have. I've tried many comics and just can't do it.
Well, like we said, comiXology may be a new path for you.
Yeah, but still, I much prefer books. But
this
I will.
This is how I feel whenever they announce a new novel author, like Chuck Wendig. I never heard of Chuck Wendig. I know nothing about it. I don't read a lot of like sci-fi fantasy other than Star Wars, so I don't know who any of these people are. But I know who Kieran Gillen is. I know who Jason Aaron is, and I love them. So I hear that name, and even if I didn't give a crap about Darth Vader, I would read anything Gillen did.
Well, I have
that's even it's not even about oh, what are they going to do with Darth Vader after A New Hope? That's such an interesting idea. It's about, I will read Gillen, period. And I never have that with a novelist because I never know anything of theirs before Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have anything against that there are Star Wars comics, and I will read this one because, I mean, really, let's be honest. It's post-Return of the Jedi content, so
I'm that's in your wheelhouse.
It is.
But speaking of Chuck Wendig, he no longer has to dance around this one anymore.
Is that what he was doing?
Kind of. So now I hope everyone knows why I've been following Chuck Wendig on Twitter, even though I haven't read any of his books, because he's kind of hilarious. Also, he has a really good writing blog, so if you want to write fiction, you should be following his blog.
Yeah, I've been reading that too since last week.
Yeah.
Very insightful guy. But Aftermath is going to be the first adult novel set after Return of the Jedi in the Story Group canon era. Yes. And it will be penned by Chuck Wendig.
Yes. Okay, I'll admit, when I read this announcement, I kind of got really nostalgic and got really excited because it was like getting another chance at like having a book like Heir to the Empire, which I know it's not going to be like Heir to the Empire, but you know, I was still kind of like, well, if they want to give me more books set after Return of the Jedi, I guess I'll take them.
As long as this one starts the same way Truce of Bacchara started with, which was Wedge having his hand stuck in a satellite or something.
I'm surprised. I have not seen any photoshops of the Truce at Bacchara cover.
I know, I'm mad.
Bacchara X'd out and Aftermath written in.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom from Delray mentioned that last week on the podcast, and I'm mad I haven't seen it. But they actually went ahead and announced it. They had a blog post on StarWars.com. And Jen Heddle, first of all, I don't think we all knew this was going to be the first book in a trilogy. So that's interesting. They didn't say when the other two books are coming out, but I think everyone's kind of assuming they're going to be coming out after.
I think she said they were both next year, but I don't know where exactly.
Okay. And also, they didn't really say the time frame of those books. I'm assuming this one is set right after.
Well, if you look at the cover, the Death Star is still exploding.
Yeah. So Jen, in the blog post, Jen Heddle said, you know, obviously they can't reveal much, but what I can reveal is that you will be introduced to a sweeping new cast of characters along with a fan favorite from the films. And who knows what other familiar faces will pop up along the way. And once you've seen The Force Awakens in movie theaters, you may find that certain names and places in Aftermath have a relevance you never knew. So keep your eyes wide open. Bum, bum, bum.
A fan favorite, huh?
That's definitely Wedge.
Yeah, it's totally Wedge.
I love
that. Wedge, and it's going to explain why Lawson isn't in TFA.
Oh, crap.
Hey!
Are they going to... They can't kill him. He has to have a baby first.
Okay, seriously, if they want to use Wedge, Dennis Lawson is the easiest actor to recast.
Or just not use him.
I don't think I don't want to see him. I want to see them recast him if they do something that's like set in that era. Like if Rogue One is during the OT, then recast him. But if it's a sequel trilogy, I want to see Lawson. It's worth it to me. Like he looks like General Antilles.
Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, so everyone's speculating on the fan favorite character. I hope it's Wedge. Oh, well, I know the first thing I noticed was on the cover. So the cover is, you know, very stylized. It's the Death Star exploding. And then at the bottom right, there's a little itty bitty tiny X-Wing. And of course, that's the first thing I noticed. I was like, do I dare get my hopes up because of this little tiny X-Wing?
If you look closely, it's Wedge flying out of the story.
Right? I mean, that makes sense, right? I mean, it would be an homage to Legends to have Wedge start out the new canon.
Are you guys familiar with Poochie from Simpsons? That old
episode? Yeah.
That's going to be the opening of Aftermath. It's going to say, well, guys, I need to go back to my home planet now. And then he's going to lift off the page.
Poochie died on his way back to his home planet.
Yeah, I imagine we'll never see it again.
But I also kind of like the idea that there's going to be stuff in the book you're not going to realize is important until after you see the movie. Because that's one of the things I liked about, like, I know, like, a lot of people were freaking out, like, when Revenge of the Sith came out, because there was supposed to be a character from the EU, and it ended up being a mention of Quinlan Voss. But people were like, ah, they mentioned Quinlan Voss's name in the movie! And it was, you know.
They filmed that scene, didn't they?
I don't know, did they?
I could have sworn they actually cast somebody, but I don't remember. Well, but that was the intention, at least.
Huh. Well, so, yeah. But, like, I like that. It's kind of cool, like, because people are like, why do you have to, you know, I don't want to have to read the books to understand the movie. And I'm like, no, that's not the point of tie-in fiction. The point of tie-in fiction is so all of us who read the books can get superior about it and be like, oh, well, we know who that person is.
At least we're honest about it.
That's the point of everything I do.
Right? I mean, like, it's like when you went to go see Harry Potter and they're like, I don't understand. You're like, okay, well, because you didn't read the book, so you don't know who Bill is. I'm right, right?
You are right.
That's why I read the books. So, and Chuck Wendig also did a blog post about it, obviously, and couldn't really say anything about it. Other than that, yeah, he's writing it. And he is writing it right now. So if you follow him on Twitter, you'll hear him talk about writing Redacted, which is now no longer Redacted. So you can bug him to go finish it. He said that if you want to know how he will handle Star Wars, you should read his YA series, which starts with Under the Imperium Sky, which is apparently $3.99 on Kindle. So,
Under the what sky?
I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm going to say
Imperion.
Yeah, Imperion.
Emperyon.
Yeah, something like that.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go read that after I'm done with the Lords of the Sith arc, actually.
You have other books to read. Oh. You need to read the Jason Fry books, Brian.
Okay. I will.
Wait, Zara Leonis or Jupiter Pirates?
Both.
Yes.
Oh.
Thank you.
I have been judged.
Thank you. I know. I haven't read Breaking Ranks yet because it isn't on Kindle.
Yeah, I think it actually is now.
Is it?
Yes. I saw a tweet a couple days ago saying that got resolved.
I didn't see that.
And Nancy's
He didn't post it on TFN, and he usually does that. Because he directs everyone to the link that will go to the...
If it's fixed and he didn't say anything on TFN, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he directs everyone to the Jason Fry beer and mortgage fund.
And I'm looking at Amazon right now. It's still just paperback.
Okay.
But yeah, so... But I have the first one, and it's really good. It's a sports book, Brian.
And there's a stand-in for Sabermetrics, which I love.
There is! Come on. And plus Jupiter Pirates is super fun.
Did we read the blurb for this one yet?
No, I'm going to do it right now.
Fire away, Nancy.
The second Death Star is destroyed. The Emperor and his powerful enforcer, Darth Vader, are rumored to be dead. The Galactic Empire is in chaos. Across the galaxy, some systems celebrate, while in others, Imperial factions tighten their grip. Yasani Sard. Optimism and fear reign side by side. And while the Rebel Alliance engages the fractured forces of the Empire and Warlord Zinj, a lone Rebel scout uncovers a secret Imperial meeting. A Moff Prince. Okay.
Moff? No! No! Why? Why did you say that?
Because it's obviously what it is. I mean, come right, Cooper? That's what it is, right? It's a Moff Prince.
Maybe. I can't allow myself to dignify that.
I want the fan art of that. Okay, so
I just want the Rebel Scout to be Wicket.
That's what. But no, he's on the cover of the other books and on the comics, so he can't be
in
the
story group, Nancy.
Oh, okay. So, okay, speculation time.
I'm good at this.
Will this feature people from the movies or all new people? Go.
Yes.
It doesn't answer my question.
Well, I'm going to go with the assumption that I largely believe is true, that the fan favorite character it centers around is Wedge.
Okay.
So we're going to get the likes of, if we're lucky, we'll get a Wes thrown in there. We'll get a Hobby thrown in there. Both mentioned in the movies.
Hobby's not dead.
No, Hobby's not dead. Hobby cannot be dead. No. But other characters will be more of cameos than they will actually be central characters. It's going to largely be a new cast.
I mean, they also might have the big three involved. Because, I mean, if you look at the, you know, early days of Legends, there was a lot of mostly movie characters, but they had a lot of new characters as well. So I don't think sweeping cast of new characters necessarily precludes a lot of movie characters, but I'm kind of hoping it's more of a standalone story because I think they can do more if they do that. Not standalone, meaning like not involved with other EU, but meaning like the cast.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't know what I think, but I hope that it is a new cast. I think that since there's the two more coming after the movie is out, I think they'll just sort of, they'll do a lot that sort of suggests what the big three are up to, but then they'll wait until after the movie is already out, and then the next couple books will deal more specifically with what they've been doing.
Yeah.
I can see the big three dropping in for a chapter or two each book, but I don't know if I see much beyond that.
It might.
That's what I hope. I hope that whoever the characters are, I hope that equal time is given to what the Empire is up to and what the Rebels are up to. I don't want to just see like the equivalent of the Death Star conference room and that's it. I want to see like an actual plot about what that meeting, what's going on with that meeting, and what the different factions are up to and things like that. Like, I don't want them to just be the antagonists. I want them to have major roles in it.
And that's a big reason I'm so excited for this book, because it really looks like it's going to lay out the state of the galaxy. And to do that, a really effective way to do it is to actually show the Empire and show these factions.
Well, I mean, look at Throne Trilogy. Like, the reason it works so well is because they've got New Republic, Empire, Smugglers. Three different distinct points of view, and they all come together.
And you spend a lot of time with all of them.
Yeah.
It's not just bits of stuff here and there. Like, Thrawn is the main character in that book.
Yeah. And, like, the best of the X-Wing books were when there was equal time to both what the Empire was doing and the Rebellion was doing. So I definitely agree, because I don't want to show up in The Force Awakens and not have any idea like what's been going on in the galaxy. Like, I'd like to at least have some sort of clue, and also like I don't want the villains or the antagonists to pop up out of nowhere, you know, because Jedi ends, you know, with the two big bad guys dying, so they have to make it organic that. Yeah, but there's still a threat out there. Which there is, there's still a threat out there. But, you know, it makes sense that the Empire doesn't just go away after, you know, the Emperor and Vader are dead.
But they're not going to have a big Imperial conclave worth of characters in the movies, I don't think.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the possibility that they're going to do something like Dala comes in and gasses everybody. This is going to be like the formation of the Imperial power structure by the time of the sequel trilogy, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the beginning of that specific villain.
And that's, I don't necessarily have to see like that person, but it will be nice to see, okay, this is what happened, and so this is what happened to make this in the movie, you know, happen.
Now, why I'm encouraged we'll actually see all this is because this is a trilogy. So there's space to get all of these perspectives in there and get them fleshed out and create a nice arc for each one.
Yeah.
So we're not trying to cram everything into a 350-page book. We're going to have three books to work with all that. So I think it's really likely we're going to see that.
Yeah. And I'm interested if who is writing the other books. I'm really hoping that it's one writer for all of them, but...
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't think so either. I think they would
have said
so.
Every time they do that, it's like a year apart. So if it was Chuck Wendig doing all three, the next one wouldn't be out until.
Yeah. And I think he's too busy with other books to devote
Although three. I saw on Twitter that Jim Hines was looking to get a Star Wars book.
I think everyone is out to get a Star Wars book now because they're like, oh, you can tweet and get a book? Sweet.
Speaking of tweeting to get things, whatever happened of that that conversation in which Jen Heddle told Gail Simone to call her?
I'd read that comic. But yeah, so anything else we want to talk about Aftermath? I mean, it's all just speculation, but like, I keep thinking about what I want to see from the new EU. Like, I mentioned last week that I was really glad that the Princess Leia comic got rid of that stupid 6 months after
oh god, yes,
the Death Star battle that they were at Yavin. So now I'm trying to think of like what things I want them to get rid of from the old EU. I mean, obviously there's things I want them to keep, you know, that are obvious. I don't have to say, but I was thinking, I'm like, I hope they don't have Han and Leia have a really stupid courtship. And yeah,
what a man.
Yeah. I mean, they can keep that song canon.
But just like, for dunk. We'll keep that canon just for dunk.
But like the whole, oh, they got married, but then they didn't. But and then that's like, no, just let them have a normal like relationship, get married normally, whatever. You know, I want to see that. I want Luke to not turn to the dark side, obviously.
You don't want to rehash Dark Empire?
No, I don't. And like, I want him to not be floundering around for 5 years trying to find, you know, until he ends up going and starting a Jedi Academy. Like, I mean, I love the Thrawn trilogy. I hate that it's 5 years after Jedi and he still hasn't trained Jedi. And that he hasn't trained Leia yet. Like, that needs to happen right after Jedi.
I like the idea that he doesn't quite know how to find them, though. Because, I mean, depending on how many people you think are Force sensitive, like, it's not crazy to believe that he could be wandering the galaxy for years and not find somebody.
Right.
He's not even necessarily equipped to figure out. Like, he doesn't have a midichlorian counter in his pocket.
Thank God. But, yeah, but I...
Or the weird little antenna thing.
No, it's the nubs. The nubs.
The nubs.
The nubs, Brian. Right,
the nubs.
The thing where he just looks into your brain and then he pokes you in the head.
Yeah. But like, so I kind of like, you know, I hope that, you know, I would just like to see him not, if he can't find people to train, okay, but like have that always in the background, not like, oh, I can't train people yet. So.
Nubs and paddles. Nubs and paddles. Oh, I know what I want them to drop. Wedge Antilles' sabbatical to become a structural engineer.
Yes. Yes, please. Well, they're going to do that for Aftermath, because he's a guy in Aftermath, right?
It's going to be 3 books, all of civil engineering.
God.
You heard it here first. Ahead,
but maybe that's what Rogue One is about. He becomes his civilian career. The title is ironic.
Yeah. So, all right, are we good discussing Aftermath and all the EU things?
I think so, because we've got some Episode 7 and spinoff news, rumors, and speculation, and a lot of that.
Yeah.
First thing, though, Rian Johnson officially confirmed for Episode 8. And when that was announced, we all went, I thought that was already confirmed.
Yeah, they're keeping things really quiet. But, and the important thing at this is that the release date has been set for May 26th.
Oh, thank God.
2017. Yay!
Thank God.
Which means, guess what? How we'll be celebrating our third wedding anniversary, Brian?
Oh, wow.
You just figured that out.
I just realized that.
You're smart. You're smart.
I know.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. But yeah, so I'm very excited they're going back to May, because that's where Star Wars belongs.
Oh, it's so much easier to get with friends in May to go see Star Wars than it is to try and get airfare or travel in December.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with Brian Nov, as we know him on Twitter, who said that I have enough things happening in May already. I'm perfectly happy to have some of my nerd stuff move to the end of the year.
Well, everyone else can move for Star Wars. Star Wars was there first.
I got to think something Marvel is moving.
Although I will say I'm kind of nervous that there's only a year and a half between episode 7 and episode 8.
Well, they're different directors.
Yeah, but still, it's kind of like... And there's only like 6 months between the standalone and episode 7. That's a lot of Star Wars.
That's yeah, two Star Wars movies in 6 months. Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
Like 10 years. Imagine 10 years ago.
No.
We live in a strange time. Yeah.
And speaking of strange times, they announced the title of the standalone movie and it caused everyone on the internet to break out in glee.
Nancy, I think you have to tell the story of how you discovered.
Well, I was homesick. So Brian was also working. He was working from home. So I took a nap on the couch and I was kind of like drifting out of sleep. And all of a sudden I hear, and I went, I opened my eyes because I was like, did I dream that? And I went, what? Brian goes, the standalone movie is called Rogue One. And I went, get out. I'm like,
that's not funny.
I said, you're kidding me. He's like, no, it is. I'm like, what? I grabbed my phone, went on Twitter. Yeah, so I was excited.
My timeline lost its collective shit on Twitter.
Well, duh, because you follow the right people.
I do follow the right people.
So yes, Rogue One will be released in December 2016. It is directed by Gareth Edwards, which we knew, written by Chris Weitz.
First draft by Gary Whitta.
Yep. And starring Felicity Jones. And after that, it was announced that Alexander Desplat will do the score. So of note relating to this, before we go off on our rampant speculation time, Michael Sackpole had a really awesome blog post that kind of made me cry. About Rogue One. If you want to read like everyone says, oh, all these EU authors are, you know, they're having all their work thrown out and how do you think they feel? If you ever worry about how they feel, go read Mike Sackpole's blog post, who is just full of ultimate glee and doesn't care if everything he ever wrote is like non-canon now because he gets to see this movie. And it makes
and he still attributes it to the fandom too.
Yeah.
Say like, be happy this is happening. He's saying you did this. He's saying because they saw that people love those books, we're gonna make a movie.
You guys willed this into existence. Way to go.
Seriously. And also over at a Barnes and Noble's blog, there was Andrew Liptak wrote a history of Rogue Squadron. So if you don't know why people are so excited about it, you should go read that.
I mean, even Entertainment Weekly had a piece about Rogue Squadron.
They did. So of course, you know, they didn't say anything about what the movie's about or anything about when it's set, but they didn't really need to because this was one moment where they could just say a title and have everyone flip out. And I want to say to everyone saying, well, it's not necessarily about Rogue Squadron. I'm giving you two middle fingers because STFU. It's about...
I have three very specific reasons that it's going to be about Rogue Squadron.
Go.
Number one, I heard about it from Pablo. I happen to be friends with Pablo on Facebook, and his tweet or his comment about it included the phrase, Rogue One standing by.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, EW is like their publicity department at this point. Every time anything happens with the movies or with Rebels, EW is the first one to get it. And they did that giant Rogue Squadron thing about it. And so I feel like if it was totally not about Rogue Squadron, someone would at EW would have been told not to publish that. So that seems like, just from a publicity standpoint, that would have been crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And three, it would break Mike Sackpole's heart at this point.
It really would.
For him to be so like, oh my God, it's a Rogue Squadron movie. Like, how could they possibly have the heart to not make it a Rogue Squadron movie after that?
Well, I mean, just fandom in general. Like, I feel like, okay, so George Lucas, while I love the man and will always, you know, love him, he didn't really know much about Star Wars. And people say, how can you say that? He created Star Wars. I'm like, okay, but he would even say that. He knew less about Star Wars than the fans did. Because we read all the EU and read, you know, played the video games and all this stuff. And he didn't care about all that. The people who are working on Star Wars now, like creating Star Wars, they know more than he did. And they are familiar with more of the fandom and EU stuff. And Gary Whitta, who wrote the movie and named the movie, as he said on Twitter, he chose the name, had a avatar of him wearing an X-Wing pilot helmet. So it, like, I feel like it would be the ultimate troll job and would really make me question my desire to be part of this fandom when they would do that to us.
Yeah, calling the movie Rogue One and then having it be about Boba Fett is a level of cluelessness I just refuse to believe Lucasfilm is capable of.
I mean, you know, announcing all the female cast later, like, you know, all the stupid stuff with the action figures and all that, like, cluelessness. That's one level. Trolling everyone for what the standalone about is just mean. And why would you do that? Like, because it's not like it's everyone's like, well, Rogue could mean this. It's like, no. In the Star Wars universe, the word Rogue has a very specific connotation. It is canon.
But the books aren't canon anymore. That Rogue Squadron was in the frickin' Empire Strikes Back. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Not flying X-Wings.
Yeah. But still, I mean, it's, I don't care if they're actually in X-Wings. I mean.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I do.
But that's what everyone else says. We're like, there was this concept art when they were like commandos. I'm like, did you
know what that sounds like?
The X-Wing
books.
Yeah, I think there's a very real chance that it could be like a Wraith Squadron kind of thing where they are sort of
in which case I would go
like, space battles are happening, but they're spending 2/3 of their time on like ground missions.
If it's spiritually a Wraith Squadron book, I would go, yay, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's almost kind of better. Like, that's a cooler idea for Rogue Squadron than just straight pilots, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how much better is that than Top Gun in space?
Oh. Well,
Top Gun in space
is
so cool.
Let's not say anything we'll regret.
Okay, well, I mean, the Star Wars universe could use a homoerotic shock ball montage, but...
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, even the straight Rogue Squadron books, they didn't spend that much time in their X-Wings. You know, they had a lot of grunts. I mean, like...
Pretty much all of Wedge's Campbell was that.
And you had said something on Twitter, like, what if it's the taking of Coruscant? I mean, because we don't know when it's going to take place. It could take place during the original trilogy. It could take place during the sequel trilogy. I mean, we have no idea. You know, taking over Coruscant is kind of a big event. And having them do a new canon story of that would kind of be nice. Or just having a new canon take of the formation of Rogue Squadron would kind of be nice. So...
That's what I'm hoping, but the more I think about it, the less I think that's likely.
Yeah. I mean...
I really, like, this is such a fanish thing to think this, but I really, really thought when I saw Felicity Jones, I thought young Leia. And so I thought, well, it's during the old trilogy and she's Leia.
Yeah.
But that isn't, so why would Leia be the main character in Rogue One if it's set then? So I'm not sure.
My first thought was Felicity Jones was... Ciel Antilles. Sorry.
Isn't Ciel blonde?
Doesn't matter. She could dye her hair.
Women can change their hair colors.
Yeah, right. Or she could not be Ciel. She could be the spiritual successor. Like how, you know, not Jaina, Daisy Ridley. But I mean, like, that would make sense, like, to have a, you know, have a... answer descendant of a character that a lot of people, you know, like, who's not necessarily, you know, descendant of the big three. Like, it would be a good tie to get people interested, like, oh, this book movie's about Wedge's daughter, cool, you know, rather than just person that they don't know about.
And Dunk says in the chat, I actually saw someone guess she was Jaina. Of course you did.
Well, Jaina,
of course someone did.
Well, Jaina apparently was Rogue Leader, even though they never decided to give us that book. Yeah. And then people were like, Rogue One, but wouldn't that be the name of the ship? not a person. It's a call sign. It's interchangeable. Read the freaking books.
Or watch the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting about this one is it could really take place at any point from the original trilogy onward.
We have no idea.
And honestly, I'm kind of okay with with any place they set it. Because there's a lot of really interesting stuff they can do at any period of time.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing that. That's the poll on our site right now is where do you think it'll be set? And it's pretty, it's not, I wouldn't say it's evenly split, but there's a good chunk for everything. The winner by far is between the two trilogies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's if it's Fall of Coruscant.
Yeah, I like the idea of Rogue One being between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy, but I also would greatly enjoy one set during the original trilogy.
Yeah. I just have a hard time believing they would go back to the original trilogy when, like, they're pushing everything to be post-Jedi content, but at the same time, it would kind of, because they are putting out original trilogy stuff, like, with, you know, the YA books and the comics right now, but...
I think they're doing that to catch people off before, but once The Force Awakens is out of the way, that's kind of, I think it's a different ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to hear my crazy idea about it being set during the old trilogy?
Sure.
Do you remember ages ago when they first put Samuel L. Jackson in Iron Man, and it was just going to be a one-shot thing, and they made a big secret out of it, and then once it went over well and they realized they were going to go with it, they cast and they signed him to a 9-picture deal. They knew, like, okay, this is going to stick around. We're going to do this. What if Felicity Jones is young Leia, and the reason they announced her now is because they cast her for some long, they're going to be doing a lot of old trilogy era stuff, and they're in the process of casting all three of them right now.
That would be interesting.
Meaning it was less about casting her for this movie specifically and more as locking her down in this role in a recurring fashion, and this is just the first thing that happens to come up.
Huh. That is kind of crazy.
That is kind of crazy.
I think that's just because I want it to be about the formation of the squadron. I'm justifying it.
Yeah.
I did hear a rumor at some point that they had somebody that they were looking at for young Luke, but I don't know where the hell
it is. A part of me also kind of hopes that we see that in the formation of the squadron in Rebels. Or kind of a precursor to it.
A part of me wants to see a Rogue Squadron origin story, but another part of me just kind of wants to drop in somewhere in their timeline.
Yeah.
And just see what's happening.
Well, I mean, they could have, it could be like post, I mean, it could be a reformation of the squadron. Like how, you know, how the X-Wing books wedges recreating Rogue Squadron, you know, after, you know, so many years.
But I never really got that. Like, why would, especially if it looks like the ST, there's still like, there's been some sort of conflict all this time. Like, why would they have disbanded Rogue Squadron ever?
I mean, it could have been just...
Sometimes it's dropping into it, he said, but...
Yeah.
I can't imagine that there would be a point anywhere in the timeline right now where it's like, okay, we don't need Rogue Squadron anymore.
Well, I mean, it could have been just a situation where the pilots were kind of all assimilated into other squadrons, and maybe they were all like, all right, we gotta get you guys back.
Gotta get the band back together.
Something like that. I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas out there.
I feel like that's how Rogue Squadron, like, that's why I want to see the origin of the squadron, is that's how they were, because they were from the ashes of Red Squadron, which died.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of it's like Luke and Wedge, and they have to, like, go around and get the A-team of Rebel pilots together and make this new squadron who's, like, crazy commandos and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see an origin story that's a lot more coherent than anything else we've had on Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, because
we never really got a definitive anything. It's, like, there's a lot of bits of it. But
it's ridiculous. Can I say that I really, really, really hope that they name one of the pilots either Aaron, Alston, or Ketch. They have to do it. Please.
And I said this on Twitter as well, but if they can get Ed Brubaker a cameo in Winter Soldier, they can totally get Tim and Mike cameos in Rogue One.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Mike Sackpole said in his blog post. Like, all he wants is to, like, have them be pilots. They can kill them, do whatever they want. He just wants to be in the movie.
But if they come to him and say, well, the good news is we'll give you a cameo, the bad news is the movie's about Boba Fett.
he'd probably do it anyway. But yeah, I really want one of the X-wing pilots to be named after Aaron.
I'll still would make a good first name for a Star Wars character.
It would, wouldn't it?
It would.
And
Alston Stackpole.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Wow, that actually works.
That actually sounds like a Star Wars character.
Huh. Well, how about that?
And you have to wear Hawaiian shirts to the premiere.
Yeah, we're legitimately going to start that campaign for the Rogue One premiere once we get closer. Aloha shirts at the premiere.
I mean, yeah. We have ours from Dragon Con.
We do. We all need to wear something that offends the wearer and the viewer to Rogue One.
I'm surprised nobody's made a Hawaiian shirt style pilot outfit, like in place of the orange stuff.
Well, Celebration's coming up, so we'll see. They had a Ewok shirt, an Ewok Hawaiian shirt.
I'm disappointed I didn't buy that.
I am too. I'm disappointed in you.
So, do we have any more Wild Mass guessing for Rogue One?
Maybe the Yuuzhan Vong are involved?
Bad coop! Bad!
The Sea Rook. She Rook. I don't want to get too excited until we know more about it, but I'm sorry, I can't. Like, every time I think, holy crap, we're getting an X-Wing movie, and I just freaking want to dance around the room and be like, this is the most awesome thing. Like, I literally did not care about the standalone movie until they posted that. Like, you can go back and look through my Twitter timeline. Every time a standalone rumor came up, I was like, don't care, tell me what it's about. Don't care. I don't care who's in it. Just tell me what it's about. And they did.
Back to the day they announced the Disney purchase, I've always said that I was more interested in the standalones. Because, like, doing a Star Wars Episode 7, that strap shoot is so much baggage and so much specific, like, how you can do it, what kind of tone it has, what kind of elements are in it. Mm-hmm. But there was so much different stuff they could do with the standalones. And I'm always going to be more excited. Even before I knew it was Rogue One, I was more excited for this.
I think my problem was I was expecting them to do a Han Solo and Boba Fett movie for the standalone, in which case I would have gone, eh.
Well, I mean, that's what I say. Like, I didn't really care about the standalones because I kind of felt like that's why we had the EU. Like, Star Wars for me was always about, like, the Skywalkers and everything. And, like, I'm like, I don't care about movies about other people, but... Then they had all the rumors about Han Solo or Boba Fett, and I was kind of like, not interested. And then they got me interested, and I realized it's completely selfish, but hey, I admit it.
The Skywalker was one of the least interesting things about Star Wars to me.
It's okay, you're allowed to be wrong.
The Skywalkers are the thing I have to endure to get to Star Wars.
Whatever. You're a guest, so I won't yell at you.
No, we'll just scorn you on Twitter after this.
But yeah, I am...
Well, can I promote? I have two different... Next week, there's two different articles about Rogue One coming. One of them is specifically about, we don't know what it's about, cool the hell down. The other one is about, it's a guest piece, and it's about just why it's good that they're focusing on the war content and the fact that it's going to be a movie. Whatever the hell it's about, it's going to be a movie about battles and stuff instead of about Jedi, and how it's great that was the first thing they went to, whatever else it means.
Oh, Mike, I have a special message from Dunk, who wants me to tell you to shut the frack up.
What about the Skywalkers?
Yeah.
Probably.
Dunk, do you want more Heir of the Jedi then? I think that was a yes.
You manipulated my quotes about Heir of the Jedi. Still bitter about that.
What did I do? I forget.
I said something about how the book was boring, and you edited the quotes to make it look like I said Luke is boring.
That's right. Yeah. because it was true.
Boy, it is a good thing you're not going to Celebration, because I think Nancy might end you.
No, I'll just sit there with you.
It was satire. It wasn't like I was falsifying. No.
I just did it. I'll just go and talk to Jason Fry and talk about Luke.
And his first lightsaber battle.
I know. I'll be like, I'm counting on you, Jason Fry. You're my only hope.
So my last thoughts on Rogue One, I just can't get past the holy crap, we have a movie called Rogue One coming.
I know. What would 14-year-old Brian have thought?
14-year-old Brian would have wet himself. 26-year-old Brian just about did too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's all the thoughts I've got about Rogue One, unless anyone else has anything else they want to chime in on. Going once, going.
Tycho.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I would like to recanonize all of the Fab Four. Well, I mean, you know, their personalities. Besides that, there are two guys named Wes and Hobby.
Before Rogue One was announced, I would have said that there was a decent chance that they would have stuck. Like she said in Jen Heddle's thing, she said that Aftermath could have some familiar faces or something like that. Like the individual rogues before the movie came into the picture, the individual rogues were not important enough that I could easily have seen them sticking and just randomly mentioning Tycho Selchu in that book somewhere.
Yeah.
Now I'm less certain of that, because God knows what the movie's going to be doing.
And I'd also like to point out that I don't remember when it was, like maybe a few weeks ago or a month or so ago, that StarWars.com had like a profile of Rogue Squadron. And I was kind of like, hey, look, Tycho's on the official site. And I was like, look at all this stuff. And I'm like, now I'm wondering, huh, did I have a strategic purpose or was it just coincidence?
Well, what does it mean?
They did that, and they did one about, I want to say, Echo Base.
Yeah.
I forget. That was a bunch of things.
Yeah, it was a series, but it was still kind of like.
And that's so many people. In an official capacity and not just talking about Rogue Squadron, that I have a... Yeah, it just doesn't make sense that this is about Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm. No.
You wait your turn, Boba Fett fans. You've had him shoehorned into everything for the last two decades.
Mm-hmm. I don't really care if there is a Boba Fett movie or a Han Solo movie or a team-up of the two of them. I just don't want them to steal the Death Star plans.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying I don't want that movie. I want to see if Rebels isn't going to do it, which Rebels is probably going to do it. But if it's going to be, I would be okay with a movie about that story, but leave it. I don't want it to be like Yavin Basilica, where they need to cram all these like underworld characters into that story. Yeah. Like I want that to be something that a Rebel unit does.
Besides, I have a hard time thinking they would make a movie over stealing the Death Star plans when it's obviously seems like the end game for Rebels. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I mean, obviously that's where they need to go for that. But I mean, we all thought, you know, the end game for Clone Wars was Order 66, so what do we know?
Shows get canceled prematurely.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that this one they have an end game, like before season 5, like that they have it planned out. We're starting here, we're ending here.
I don't want it to get that long.
Yeah.
I want 3 seasons of this, and then I want them to jump into the old trilogy. And new characters or same characters or whatever. Like, I don't want that was the problem with Clone Wars. It was supposed to end after four or five seasons anyway, and they just kept going. Like, if they had ended when they wanted to end, it wouldn't have had to get cut off like that.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just have a bunch of shorter series.
I agree. I think there is sometimes too much of a good thing when it comes to TV because, I mean, you know, with movies, you know, it's like it's a specific period of time and whatever. But with the show, like they've got a very specific cast of characters and it'll feel it if it starts meandering and they're just kind of filling for last time.
And the sooner it ends, the sooner we can get Hera at Echo Base.
Yeah. I mean, Like, that's, I think, one of the reasons the season 1 was so good is because it was packed a punch because it fit all into it in, like, 13 episodes. But, yeah.
We
went on a detour.
Yes, we did.
Oh, well.
I think we're going to actually wrap up there, though. Before we go, Cooper, plug your work.
Well, I already plugged the next week of pieces, but 1138... is the site, 11, spelled out with a hyphen after the 11.com. My Twitter is 1138, but with 8 as A-T-E, because of some other jerk.
Twitter squatters. And no hyphen.
My personal Twitter is at know the other left, all just spelled as one word. And I don't know if that's all that's worth pointing out. I'm on TFN Lit Literature and nowhere else.
Check out the Ignorance is Bias thread if you need just one more place where I can piss you off with diversity.
Nah. Just last night, we got accused of publishing works by plants.
I saw that. That's awesome.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Good. Mia, if you're listening, thanks for that.
All right. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the blog. Help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants, Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. And you can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. Join us next week when we dive back into Heir to the Jedi and a little bit of discussion of Lords of the Sith. We will catch you next time. So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.